Good morning, and welcome to the Mexican Ministry of Finance's conference call on the proposed economic program for 2008. With us today are Miguel Messmacher, head of the Economic Planning Unit, and Gerardo Rodriguez, head of the Public Debt Unit. Mr. Messmacher, you may begin your conference, sir.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Mexican Ministry of Finance's conference call on the proposed economic program for 2008. I will start discussing our outlook for 2007 and then our projections on economic activity and public finances for 2008, and then Gerardo Rodriguez will discuss public debt for 2008 and our approximate estimations of the implications of the approval of the public finance reform once it is approved. Regarding our outlook for 2007, the Mexican economy is expected to grow at an annual rate of 3% in 2007. This figure is lower than the 3.3% growth rate published in the last quarterly report on the public finances and public debt due to the downward revisions that have been taking place in the dynamism of the United States economy as a result of the recent financial volatility and the absence of a recovery in the real estate sector in the U.S. Our present estimation, nevertheless, implies a recovery in Mexico's economic activity throughout 2007, anticipating a GDP annual growth rate of 3.4% during the second half of 2007. At the end of the year, the traditional public balance is expected to be in balance as a result of total revenues and expenditures of 2,336 billion pesos, complying with the goal approved by Congress. Total budgetary revenues are expected to be 98.3 billion pesos higher than the estimation in the 2007 Federation's income law. This is the result of higher than approved revenues in all categories. Worthwhile mentioning is that the income tax is expected to exceed by close to 50 billion pesos, equivalent to 11%, the amount in the approved program. Programmable public sector expenditures are expected to exceed the amount approved in the 2007 Federation's expenditure budget by close to 102 billion pesos due to the application, according to regulations, of the excess revenues estimated by year's end, together with lower non-programmable expenditures. The most important differences with respect to the approved figures are increases of 4.9 and 5.8% in pension and capital expenditures, respectively, as well as an 11.3% reduction in current operating expenditures. Moving on to the economic outlook for 2008, what we're expecting is that in the event that the public finance reform is not approved, the Mexican economy would expand at an annual rate of 3.5% in real terms. This figure is in line in general with private sector expectations. We calculated revenues considering an average reference price of $46.6 per barrel for the Mexican oil mix, as well as production and export platforms of 3,140 and 1,678,000 barrels per day, respectively. The price used for the 2008 budget represents an increase of 8.8% with respect to that in 2007, while the oil production and export platforms that we have for 2008 imply reductions of 1 and 3%, respectively, with respect to the estimated values for 2007. A balanced budget is presented in the Federation's revenue law proposal and the Federation's expenditure budget project. Nevertheless, the public sector's balance will most likely present a deficit at the end of the year. This is due to the fact that net total expenditure will be modified during 2008 in order to comply with the obligations established in favor of public sector workers that are incorporated in the approval of the new ESIS law. Since the new law will contribute to an improvement of public finances in future exercises by an amount that is higher than the expected outlays from the law, it qualifies as one of the anticipated exceptional situations stated in the Federal Budget and Fiscal Responsibility Law that allows the public balance to register a deficit. Moving on to public revenues for 2008, our estimation of budgetary revenues without considering the effect arising from the approval of the public finance reform anticipates that budgetary revenues in 2008 will be 2,393 billion pesos, a figure higher by 76 billion pesos than the amount approved in the Federation's income law for 2007. Oil-related revenues present a 0.7% reduction in real terms with respect to those approved for 2007. This is due to the fact that the financial income of Pemex will not be included in these revenues as of 2008 and will be discounted from its financial cost. Once discounting for this methodological change, oil-related revenues are expected to increase 0.8% in real terms, mainly due to the increase in oil prices. This will make the treatment of Pemex's financial revenues consistent with the treatment that is used for the federal government. Non-oil-related revenues are expected to increase 5.6% in real terms in comparison to those approved in the federal income law for 2007. This includes an estimated increase of close to 55 billion pesos or 5.4% in real terms in non-oil tax revenues in comparison to those approved for 2007. Moving on to public expenditures, for 2008, the level of total net expenditures, programmable and non-programmable, contained in the Federation's expenditure budget project is 2,393 billion, the same amount of budgetary revenue. Continuing with austerity efforts, the expenditures decree proposal for 2008 includes a reduction of 10.1 billion pesos in operational and administrative expenses of the federal public sector. In terms of the composition of expenditures, the resources for the Secretariat of Public Security will be increasing 20.5% with respect to those estimated for the current year. The expenditure in public security and law enforcement exerted by the Central Public Administration would increase by 14.6% in real terms with respect to the amount approved in 2007. The increases in the expenditures of Pemex, CFE, and Luz y Fuerza del Centro with respect to the approved amounts for 2007 are 5.3%, 4.3%, and 3.3% respectively. Finally, investment fostered by the public sector will be equivalent to 4% of GDP. With that, let me pass on to Gerardo Rodriguez.
Thank you, Miguel. In terms of public debt for 2008, the public debt management objective will be to satisfy the financing requirements of the federal government at the lowest possible cost, maintaining a risk profile that is compatible with the development of domestic debt markets. The public debt strategy of the federal government for next year will follow two basic guidelines. First, to continue financing the federal government deficit exclusively in the domestic debt market, and with regards to external debt, continue improving the cost and maturity structure. Along these lines, in the economic program for next year, we requested the following net indebtedness limit to Congress. On the domestic side, we requested a 220 billion pesos ceiling for the federal government in 2008, and a net external debt reduction for the public sector of at least $500 million, and loans also with the international financial multilateral organizations, that is the World Bank and the IDB, equivalent to a net indebtedness of up to $1.5 billion. It is worth noting that in the context of public debt management, these limits that were requested to Congress will be increased by the expenditure associated to the compliance of the mandate in the new ISSSTE law, as Miguel mentioned earlier in the call. The amount of new debt issued for that purpose will depend, of course, on the number of workers that choose the new scheme and therefore receive a recognition bond. Now, with respect to the broadest definition of public debt, it is estimated that the public sector borrowing requirements in 2008 will be equivalent to 2% of GDP, which is 0.3 percentage points of GDP higher than that that we're expecting for 2007. At this level, the accumulated PSBR as proportion of GDP will continue to decline. Now let me move to the economic perspective with the potential approval of the public finance reform that is currently being discussed in Congress. In the case of the approval of the reform, the benefits derived from this would be reflected in higher productive activity and job creation starting in 2008. This is due mainly to four different elements. First, an important increase in the resources that would be channeled to infrastructure investment. Second, the stimulus to private investment by the improvement of expectations about the future of the economy. Third, lower interest rates and country sovereign risk. And last, the greater confidence that Mexicans are able to reach substantial agreements to improve the competitiveness of our economy. In particular, if the public finance reform is approved, a growth of GDP in 2008 close to 3.7% is projected, which further increases in subsequent years. Since the public finance reform is still in process of analysis and discussion in Congress and can be subject to modifications, it is difficult to estimate the revenue increases that would occur in case of this approval. Nevertheless, it is projected that this reform could generate during 2008 additional budgetary revenues than those that were submitted in the economic package of around 115 billion pesos, which is equivalent to 1.1% of GDP. The resources obtained from this reform would be assigned by close to 70% to the federation and 30% to the states. If levels of revenue like the previous ones materialize, we would observe in 2008 the highest historical level of non-oil tributary revenues as a percentage of GDP in the last 30 years. Moreover, these revenues would increase their participation in total revenues. The allocation of resources could be assigned in the following manner. 77% to foster competitiveness and job creation through infrastructure projects as highways, ports, as well as an electricity tariff reduction, and 23% being channeled to social expenditures, including hospital infrastructure, education, and public security, among others. Greater revenues originated by the reform and additional austerity measures would allow that both the net debt of the federal public sector as well as the historical balance of the public sector borrowing requirements would continue to fall as a proportion of GDP. This would imply that by reinforcing the sustainability of public finances, the fiscal burden of future generations would be reduced. As a whole, these elements would lead to an improvement in the economy's perspectives through higher rates of economic growth in the years to come, which would result in a better standard of living for all Mexicans. With that, we conclude the introductory remarks, and now we could proceed to the question and answer section. Thank you. Operator, we can now proceed to the question and answer section.
Yes, sir. At this time, if you would like to ask a question, simply press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. We'll pause for just a moment to compile the Q&A roster. Once again, to ask a question, please press star one now. Your first question comes from the line of Gray Newman.
Yes, and good morning. I joined a few minutes late, so I don't want to ask about things that you may have already touched on, but is it possible if you could just review the the exercise that was done at the beginning of the year, the end of last year, on the inertial deficit that the finance ministry had projected for 2008 to 2012. And I guess my question were sort of two-part. One, could you just remind us again of the assumptions on the oil front in terms of output as well as the price assumptions? And two, if you could just refresh our memory in terms of the pressure from additional pension spending. And related to that, has anything changed this year in the way the finance ministry views the risks surrounding either oil or on the pension or any other pressures when you look at the that initial inertial deficit exercise? Thank you.
Hi, Ray. This is Miguel Metzmacher. Overall, our estimations, and you can actually consult this in a lot of detail in the document on Criterios Generales of Política Económica, so I will not go into the specific details, but rather mention sort of the broad trends. In terms of oil income, what we basically have are, again, prices that are projected going forward with a formula that is incorporated in the fiscal responsibility law. Now, what that implies is, compared with last year, given the higher level of prices that we're currently observing, it implies a schedule for oil revenue that is slightly higher, though not abruptly so, from the one that we had last year. And this is guaranteed by the fact that our formula incorporates the last 10 years of historical observation, which makes the evolution of oil prices pretty stable. Regarding the evolution of oil production and oil exports, it is very similar to what we had projected last year. So in that sense, there are no major changes in that respect. The same thing regarding pensions and Vidiregas projects. We still have those two components being the two most important drivers of the inertial deficit and the pressures going forward. And those are basically the ones that would be pushing for a deficit into the future. Now, if you look at our current projections for the deficit, compared with those that we had last year, if you remember, last year our inertial projections of the deficit had it moving from a balanced budget in 2007, then a deficit of close to 0.6 percentage points of GDP in 2008, and then all the way to a deficit of 2.9 percentage points of GDP in 2012. The difference compared with that scenario right now is that by necessity, we are starting with a balanced budget this year. So instead of having a deficit of 0.6 percentage points in the inertial scenario to GDP, given projected increases in capital expenditures and so on, we have a balanced budget this year. And that's basically through the containment expenditure measures that are described in Criterios. Therefore, we have a deficit, an inertial deficit, of 2.3 percentage points of GDP by 2012, where the difference is basically that inertial deficit that you would have observed in 2008 had we not contained expenditure increases. I hope this more or less answers your question. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Your next question comes from the line of David Roberts.
Good morning. I have one question for Miguel about the economic projections for the remainder of this year. That I'm, I admire the difficult exercise in trying to decide what's happening in the U.S. economy in this period, therefore how what the impact would be on Mexico. But I'm, I just want to get some flavor on, you expect that the average growth rate in the second half of the year will be about, I think, a seasonally adjusted rate of 3.4%, which is stronger than the first half growth rate. So I wonder how that, in effect, reconciles. What sectors of the economy are growing to offset what you presumably are seeing as a decline in manufactured exports to the U.S.?
Yes. Basically, there are a couple of things to note, which is that this 3.4% growth rate for the remainder of the year implies quarterly growth rates of close to slightly above 1% in seasonally adjusted quarterly terms. So that does not seem to us like overly excessive. You're perfectly right in that what we're trying to do here, and it's sort of a complicated exercise given the uncertainty that there is about how things in the U.S. will affect other sectors besides from the real estate sector. Now, what we have been seeing is a very dynamic evolution of employment in the economy and the growth rate of credit being sustained in a very important way. This gives us some idea that regarding our projections going forward, domestic demand and the growth of the service sector will continue to be an important driver in economic activity. Now, in addition, there is the issue that overall there are questions about how important will be the effects from the current, let's say, market volatility in the U.S. and the changing credit conditions in the industrial sector. In that respect, even though there have been important revisions to GDP growth forecasts in the U.S., a lot of it has been driven by revisions in the real estate sector, not so much in industrial production, after the whole inventory adjustment process that took place during the end of 2006 and the beginning of 2007. So in that respect, what we are using in our projections, we are recognizing that there could be some slowdown in industrial production in the U.S. And that the recovery in Mexico might not be as strong as before, but still we're considering that a lot of the adjustment in the U.S. will be taking place through the real estate sector. Now, obviously, there are important downside risks to these growth forecasts, both for the U.S. and for the Mexican case.
Your next question comes from the line of Salvador Moreno.
Hi, Miguel, Gerardo, good morning. Two in one. First, if you could give us detail on what you're expecting for, or the breakdown of the 1.1 of additional revenue that you're expecting from the reform. Particularly, I am interested to know if these include the potential tax to gasoline. And secondly, this is for Gerardo. Regarding the buyback programs of internal debt, which is new in the economic program, how are you expecting to finance this buyback program, particularly if you have the contingency of the ISSSTE outlay? Thank you.
Regarding the composition of the 1.1 percentage points of GDP increase in tax revenues that we're expecting, obviously a lot of it is coming from the approval of the CETU. Now, in terms of the details, in principle, we are actually trying to give a flavor here of what would be the overall approximate result from the approval of the reform. As we noted, there is considerable uncertainty about how the reform will end up looking, given that it's still in discussion in Congress. So in that sense, we are not thinking about providing any particular details. This is sort of a rough estimate where we look at different possible scenarios, different possible modifications. Now, something that is probably important to note is that no matter what happens to the gasoline tax, those are not resources for the federal government. So in principle, that would not be affecting the amount of income that the federal government would be receiving in the case of the approval of the fiscal reform. Let me now move on to Gerardo Rodriguez.
Yes, Salvador, in terms of the buyback of domestic debt that we mentioned in criterios, it is important to mention that This idea is introduced in the context of the different initiatives that we have taken to strengthen the microstructure and the efficiency of the local markets. This potential buyback program, we're seeing it as a complement to the actual exchange program of securities that we have in place, the so-called permutas, and it is basically a tool that will help us to better manage our cash balances, that is, securities that are subject to mature in the current year, and that they were subject to different reopenings throughout their lives. Now they have an important outstanding amount that when we have to amortize that, it may raise an issue on certain frictions in the marketplace and potential pressures on our cash balances. So in order to reduce those, we've been using a regular exchange program or the permutas, and now as a complement to that, we're planning to establish on a regular basis a buyback program that won't add any pressure to our financing needs, but because it would be debt that in any ways would be amortized in the same year. So in this context, there is no additional pressure. With regards to ISSSTE reform, the financing needs that will arise from the introduction of the reform will have its component also of demand of securities. That is, we are only recognizing debt that is already there, not accounted for, at least in our statistics of public debt. And the process of the implementation of the ISSSTE reform would only recognize that debt by issuing these recognition bonds and giving them to workers. So in that sense, the introduction of the reform also does not add pressures. At that very time, it doesn't add any pressure to our financing needs. It is something as, say, increasing the supply of instruments, but at the same time increasing the demand for those same instruments with a relatively negligible effect in the structure of the marketplace. Thank you.
And once again, to ask a question, please press star 1. Your next question comes from the line of Alonso Cervera.
Thank you. Good morning. Miguel, I have a question on the reglamento of the fiscal responsibility law that was posted on the Ministry of Finance website this week. The question is, who was responsible for the definition of Article 11 in that reglamento? This is the extraordinary conditions under which there can be a fiscal deficit. So who designed it and when was that done? Thank you.
Alonso, the design of this article was already done in the past. In the original reglamento that was there already issued last year, once the fiscal responsibility law was approved, the main exceptional articles of the reglamento were already designed. What you can see is that regarding the ISSSTE reform, and this is probably the most relevant component as of right now, given what is happening there, is that when there are substantial savings in net present value terms from actions that are taken currently, and those could imply having a budget deficit, that is allowed by the law. Some of the other items that are included in the reglamento are in response to large shocks to, let's say, for example, interest payments, a large recession in the economy, expenditure related with natural disasters, etc. So basically, the items that are incorporated into the reglamento of the Federal Budget and Responsibility Law are really considered to be exceptional circumstances, under which you would also think that there could be exclusively temporary pressures. I mean, it's very important to realize that these are not considered to be permanent pressures, but rather temporary, which would allow the government to send a budget with a deficit to Congress. In that respect, the one that matters for us right now, given the ISSSTE law, is the one that stipulates that if you will be making any changes to laws or regulations that imply large savings in net present value terms, you can have a deficit if that law implies higher outlays, which are which are basically temporary. But those were already in place from last year.
Thank you, Miguel. Just to be more precise, in the reglamento it states that this paragraph was changed in the Diario Oficial on September 5th. What paragraph exactly was it, the one that was changed? Thank you.
There were some adequacies in terms of how we would have to notify Congress about this. And here what is very important is that we're not exactly sure what the amount of the end-of-year deficit will be according to the ISSSTE law, in the sense that we will know, as Gerardo mentioned, we will know the exact amount of the outlays only until September 30th. What the fiscal responsibility law originally specified and was that you would have to specify what kind of deficit you would have, how long it would last, etc. But in this particular case, we're not exactly sure what the amount will be. So in principle, there needed to be some adequacy in that sense.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Edgar Camargo.
Good morning, Miguel and Gerardo. Well, if the proposed tax increase on gasoline is not supported in Congress due to its negative impact on inflation or to the political cost it entails for its supporters, what alternatives do you, as authorities, think would be explored to compensate the revenue shortfall for state governments?
In the case of this potential tax on gasoline that is being discussed, which is different from what was proposed, that would be potential additional resources at a state government level that certainly were not considered, not estimated in the numbers that we presented in the economic package, not in the numbers that we are estimating that we commented on earlier on the call. So those revenues would allow a state, those potential revenues would allow state governments to accommodate any other priorities in terms of their spending, but that would be extra to those that have been incorporated so far.
And, sir, there are no further questions at this time.
Well, if there are no further questions, then with this we could conclude the conference call. Thank you, everyone, for participating in this conference call for the economic package of next year. Thank you.
This concludes today's teleconference. You may now disconnect.